And we're turning this evening to the Gospel of John and to the 6th chapter and those verses which we read together. Before we consider the Lord's word to our hearts tonight, let us seek the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we praise thee for the words we have just been singing. We can say, bless the Lord, I have Jesus. And O Lord, should we not possess anything else in this world, when we possess Christ, when we have Him as our Savior, we have everything. We are richer than millionaires. We bless Thee for all the riches that we have in Christ. The riches of His love and the riches of His grace and of His mercy. And O Lord, we pray that tonight we'll learn more of the love and the grace and the mercy of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. Come now, Lord, make ready our hearts to receive the word. And grant us the help of the Holy Spirit, that we might preach the word in all sincerity. And in preaching the word, we will preach Christ. In the Lord's wonderful name we pray. Amen. Last Lord's Day evening, we considered the disciple Philip, one of the Master's men. And we looked at what John had to say about him there in the first chapter of his Gospel. And there we looked at Philip and his testimony about the Lord. The testimony that he brought to Nathanael after Philip himself had met the Savior. We considered, how was Philip found? We asked that question. How was Philip found by the Lord? We noted with regard to that, the Lord's persistence. Because we are told that the Lord found Philip. This is an indication that he went looking for him and did not stop looking until he found him. We noticed also the place that the Lord Jesus knew where to find Philip. For it is written, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. And so when the Lord sought you and me, believer, He sought us until He found us. And He knew where to find us. We know that He found us in our sin. And then we noted also, where was Philip from? We find that Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Bethsaida was one of the cities upon which the Lord pronounced a great woe. Bethsaida had been greatly blessed by the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and yet many in the city had not repented of their sins. And the Lord said it would be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it would for the city of Bethsaida. And yet out of that city that had the woe of Almighty God pronounced upon it, God was pleased to draw out Philip and Andrew and Peter. The Lord finds His servants in the strangest places, raises them up to be mighty servants of the Lord. Then we noted who was Philip's friend. His friend, of course, was Nathanael. And when Philip was found by the Lord, and in turn Philip found the Lord, he then went immediately and found Nathanael. He went and told Nathanael that they had found Jesus of Nazareth, the one of whom the prophets wrote. Wasted no time in witnessing for the Lord. We noticed also Philip's words for his friend. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. We have found him. This is an indication that Philip had already joined himself to the other few disciples whom the Lord had called. We have found him. When we come to know the Lord Jesus, it is important that we get into the right company. When Saul of Tarsus was found by the Lord on the road to Damascus, Saul went and joined himself to the Lord's disciples. He got into the right company immediately. And so we find Philip already in the company of the Lord's disciples. And he was not ashamed of that. He made it known to Nathanael. We noted also Philip's wish for his friend. Because when Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip simply said, "Come and see. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are all they who put their trust in him." And that's where we got to last week. Now we come to John chapter 6. And where in John 1 we find Philip testifying for the Lord to Nathanael. Here in this chapter we have Philip tested by the Lord. It is the day in which the Lord wrought that great miracle. Some believe it was the greatest miracle that the Lord ever wrought during his earthly ministry. The feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children. Because the disciples and all who were present that day on that hillside saw the Creator at work. Because Christ created food that day. Enough food to feed a great multitude of people. Perhaps that is why it is the only miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels. And here we find the Lord has a question for Philip. We read in verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, to prove Philip. And then we have those wonderful words, "For he himself knew what he would do." The Lord Jesus always knows what to do. Nothing ever takes him by surprise. And here we have the Lord then testing Philip. But the thing that caught my attention about this question being put to Philip was how close Philip was to the Lord. Here we have a multitude of people. 5,000 men plus women and children. We also have the disciples there, yet we find that the Lord Jesus turns to Philip. And that intimates to me that Philip was right close at hand. He didn't have to go looking for Philip. Philip was right there beside the Lord. And the Lord then turns to Philip and puts this question to him. "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" John may have been that disciple who leaned upon the Savior's breast. But we see here in John 6 that Philip was the disciple who took up a place that was very close to the Lord. Philip was simply fulfilling that duty which the Lord required of him and of all the other disciples, and indeed that duty which the Lord requires of all of his people. That duty is mentioned over in Mark chapter 3. We turn to Mark 3. And in Mark 3 and verse 14, we have these words. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him. And that's where Philip was. He was with his Lord on that mountainside when the Lord fed 5,000. Philip was with him. He ordained 12 that they might be with him. Yea, that they should be with him. And dear Christian, that's the place the Lord would have each one of us to take up. That we're with the Lord. We're close by him. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. That's where we ought to be. We ought to be near the Savior. That's where Philip was. And when Philip was near the Lord, Philip was able to hear the voice of the Lord. When you're near Christ, you'll hear his voice. Oh, when you're following afar off, when you're lagging behind the Savior, you'll not hear his voice. You'll be listening for other things. You'll be listening to the voice of the world. You'll not hear the voice of the Lord. Need to be close. That's why we sang that hymn tonight. Nearer, still nearer. Let's make that our prayer. Lord, draw me nearer, still nearer. Close to thy heart. So we see that Philip was close to his Lord. Next we see that Philip was challenged by his Lord. The Lord challenged Philip with these words. Simply, we are told in verse 6, to prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. So he asked Philip, how are we going to feed this great multitude of people? He wanted to prove his disciple. Put him to the test. The Lord will test or prove his servants from time to time. Even as he proved Abraham. Abraham had waited a long time for a son of his own. And the Lord blessed Abraham with a son, called him Isaac. And then one day the Lord proved Abraham. We read in Genesis 22 and verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or try or prove Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. That was proving Abraham, all right. And I read in the next verse. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. There was no hesitancy on the part of Abraham. There was no rebellion whatsoever. When God called upon Abraham to offer up his son, Abraham rose up early the next morning. He was going to go on and he was going to go through with God. We know what happened, how he took Isaac with him in the wood and the fire and placed him upon the altar. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took a knife to slay his son. In verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham went through with God. The Lord will challenge us from time to time. The Lord will prove us from time to time. And just like Philip and the other disciples, you and I are in the school of Christ. And the Lord has many things to teach us. And he will challenge us, and he will test us, and he will prove us. And we will find out things about ourselves when the Lord proves us. Yes, we'll find out things about the Lord. But we'll also find out things about ourselves. We'll find out how strong we are. We'll find out how devoted to Christ we are. We'll find out how strong our faith is when the Lord proves us. When the Lord puts us to the test. But always remember this, that the Lord is in control of all things. That when we have our times of testing and trial, as we said this morning, when we're troubled in heart, remember this, the Lord is in control of all things, because when he proved Philip and he tested him, how are we going to feed this multitude? We read those wonderful words, for he himself knew what he would do. It was said the Lord always knows what he's going to do. The Lord doesn't react to a situation or respond to a situation. The Lord knows what he's going to do before the situation arises. He knew what he would do that day. He knew the lad was there. He knew the lad had loaves and fishes. He knew that Andrew would bring the lad to him because he himself knew what he would do. So Philip was challenged. And then we have Philip's confession. Philip confesses after the Lord asked him this question. Philip confesses with the words, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, Philip made a mistake that day. He made a mistake that you and I make all the time. Because what did Philip do? Philip looked at the circumstances. He looked at what bread they had. And he considered the amount of bread that the disciples possessed. And he looked at the multitude. And he said, we don't have enough bread to feed the multitude. He forgot to look to the Lord. He forgot to look to the Lord. Whenever the Lord took Ezekiel the prophet and led him out in the spirit and set him down in the valley of dry bones, Ezekiel looked all round about him and he saw the valley and full of bones, and the bones are very dry. And the Lord said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel looked to the Lord. Because Ezekiel said, Lord, thou knowest. And when we find ourselves in a strait, and we wonder perhaps how we're going to make ends meet, and we wonder how our problem is going to be solved, let us look to the Lord. Philip made that mistake. He looked at his circumstances. He looked at his difficulties. And we do the same. We looked at what we have. Or what we have not. Instead of looking to the Lord and what He is able to do and what He's able to give. We look at what we cannot do instead of looking to the Lord at what He can do. We look at our weakness instead of looking at His power. We look at our nothingness instead of looking at Christ, who is our everything. Who can supply all our needs according to His riches in glory. Why, the Lord owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And as someone said, He owns the hills as well. But Philip looked at how little bread they had and looked at the multitude. Oh, why, Philip, didn't you look to Christ? In such circumstances that we find ourselves in, we see the weakness of our own faith. We see how, like Philip, how slow we are to trust the Lord to solve our problems. Yet on that mountainside that day, Philip and the other disciples learned a great lesson, that Christ indeed is able to supply all their needs. He was able to do it. He was able to feed over 5,000 people with a handful of bread and a few fishes. The next time we meet up with Philip is in John 12. You turn, please, to John 12. In John chapter 12. And here we find Philip, and he has some good tidings to bring to the Lord. John chapter 12 and verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them, that is, among those who had come to Jerusalem for to worship. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip. All the other disciples were there, but they came to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Just a couple of verses. Telling us something more about this disciple, Philip. Philip had this opportunity to speak with a group of Greeks that had come up to Jerusalem for to worship. They came to Philip and said, Sir, we would see Jesus. They came to Philip, wanting Philip to show them Christ, to lead them to Christ, we would see Jesus. Here you have the anxious seekers. These Greeks belong to a group of Gentiles who, like the Ethiopian eunuch, had embraced Judaism and came to Jerusalem to keep its festivals. Notice their coming. We are indeed told why these Greeks came to Jerusalem. We are told that they came up for to worship at the feast. And in going up to Jerusalem for to worship, what was their prayer? What was their desire? Their desire was to see Jesus. Here we have their worship. And Christ seeing Christ linked together. That's, of course, how it ought to be. And yet I fear. I would believe that many this Sabbath day who have gone to their place of worship have not seen Jesus. They didn't see him today, and they didn't see him last week, and they didn't see him a month ago, and it's been years since they have seen Christ in their worship. Because they're sitting under a man who doesn't preach Christ. And they haven't seen Jesus in years. And our dear sister, our late sister, Mrs. Doreen Doble, her husband Keith attended here. I remember Doreen telling me on a number of occasions about the church they once attended. And she said, we would go there every Lord's Day, hoping to hear something about Christ, hoping to have Christ preached to us. And she says, we came away disappointed every Lord's Day. She said, the only time we heard about Christ was when the minister read the scriptures. The only time Christ was mentioned in the reading. We never heard Christ preached. Here the Greeks went up to Jerusalem to worship. And what was their desire? That they would see Jesus. That's the text I have in my pulpit here. Sir, we would see Jesus. That's her desire, to preach Christ, that all who come into this house will see Jesus. Notice regarding these anxious seekers, their concern. We have called them anxious seekers because I believe they were anxious about finding the Lord. Look at how they address Philip. They were told, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. The word desire wasn't just a passing desire. The word desire means to beseech. Remember how Paul, when he was calling upon the saints to pray for him, he used that same word, I beseech you. Pray for me. And here we have the Greeks coming to Philip, and they're beseeching him. They're as much as saying to Philip, Philip, we must see Jesus. They were anxious about seeing Christ. They just had to see him. And they're saying, Philip, we would see Jesus. Can you lead us to Christ? It's always good to see a soul anxious about their soul. It's always good to see a man or a woman anxious about seeking Christ. And if such an anxious seeker of Christ came to us, would you be able to lead them to the Savior? Would you know what to do? Would you know what passages of Scripture to turn to? If one of your children suddenly became anxious about their soul, as a mother or father, would you know what to do? Do you know how to lead them to Christ? If a neighbor came knocking on your door and saying, "Neighbor, I'm concerned about my soul. I would like to be saved. Can you help me?" Would we know what to do? If mother, father, brother, sister came under conviction and they came to us and said, "Would you lead me to Christ?" Would we know what to do? What an awful shame it would be if such a thing happened and we didn't know what to do. What an awful shame it would have been if Philip that day had not been able to lead these Greeks to Christ. But praise the Lord, he was able to do that. And so we can see that they were concerned. They were concerned. And Philip knew what to do. I notice not only these anxious seekers, but I see here in Philip an approachable servant. We read, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast, and the same came therefore to Philip." Why did the Greeks approach Philip and not one of the other disciples when they wanted to see Jesus? One reason, perhaps, is the name. Philip is of Greek origin. Indeed, Philip and Andrew are the only two names of the disciples that are of Greek origin. Isn't it interesting then that Philip went to Andrew? And the two of them then led the Greeks to Christ. So maybe that was one of the reasons why the Greeks went to Philip, because his name was of Greek origin. They, being Greeks, were naturally drawn to him. But then I believe there's another reason why they went to Philip. And I believe it was because they found Philip to be an individual who was very approachable. They singled him out and they felt that they could go. They were not afraid to go and speak to Philip about the Lord Jesus. They did not feel intimidated in any way. He was most approachable. That's a lovely Christian grace, isn't it? For any believer to have. Philip had this warm, welcoming presence about him. And that put those anxious Greeks at ease. You know, in this I find Philip so much like his Savior. He who was the friend of publicans and sinners was approachable. The poor felt at ease in the Savior's presence. The diseased did not feel embarrassed when they came to him. Mothers knew they could approach him with their children. The halt, the maimed, the blind, the lepers, all of them felt that they could, without reservation or fear, approach the Lord. See, that's the Savior that he is. That's the Savior that he is. He's approachable. May the Lord grant you and me this lovely Christian grace. May seeking, anxious, troubled souls feel that they can approach us for help in seeking Christ. May we be like the Savior. They came to Philip also, I believe, because they knew he was acquainted with Christ. They would not have received much help had they gone to someone who didn't know the Savior. They didn't go to the Pharisees. They didn't go to the scribes. They didn't go to the elders or the chief priests and say unto them, we would see Jesus. No, they went to a man who was acquainted with Christ. They went to a man who knew the Savior. They knew that they could go to Philip with assurance because he was one who was acquainted with the Lord Jesus. Once again, we can bring it right home. We can look down our street where we live or wherever we live, our neighborhood. I wonder, do the people in that street or in our neighborhood know that we are acquainted with Christ? That if they became anxious about their soul, they would know who to go to. They would know that that man or that woman down the road knows the Lord. They'll be able to tell us how we may seek and find the Savior. That's why the Greeks went to Philip. I trust it will be the same as far as this church is concerned. And souls in this time become anxious, come under conviction. They'll know what church to go to. They'll know that if they go to this church, they'll be told the way of salvation. And it's not the first time that has happened. You remember the Hinton family? Remember how they'd gone around all the churches, all of them, and couldn't find a place where they could be shown the way of salvation. And they came here. The Reverend Hamilton was preaching that day. And you know the rest of the story. They found Christ. They knew they could go to Philip because he was acquainted with the Lord. Next, we notice the assistance that he sought. Upon receiving the request from the Greeks, Philip went immediately and told Andrew. Then they both went and told the Lord Jesus, verse 22. Notice his haste. We're told there, and Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. He didn't waste any time. There are a number of Greeks here, Andrew, and they want to see the Lord. And Philip wasted no time. To me, this demonstrates the interest Philip had in the spiritual welfare of these Greeks. This was news worth telling. My, whenever you hear of souls being anxious about the things of God and about eternity, and wanting to get saved, I tell you, that's news worth telling. It's news worth telling. And Philip had news that was worth telling. Just like what we read in Acts chapter 11. Preachers had gone out to Antioch and preached the word of the Lord. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great multitude believed and turned unto the Lord. Acts 11 and verse 21. Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. Believer, may we never lose that joy of hearing. And we hear of souls getting saved. May we never lose the joy. The joy that comes with hearing of souls being saved. Barnabas was glad. He was glad when he saw the grace of God in them and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Go on with God. That's a story worth telling, isn't it? My, we hear such stories on the news these days. Do you ever notice every story is about a murder somewhere? Or about a robbery or something of that nature? Believer, we have got good news to tell. Christ is building his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We often sing that hymn, "What's the news? What's the news?" Written in the 1859 revival. Because people would meet one another in the street or at work and they'd say, "What's the news? Have you heard the latest? Did you hear who got saved last night? What's the news?" It's news worth telling, isn't it? And Philip had news that was worth telling. He went and told Andrew. And then Philip and Andrew went and told the Lord. And believer, whenever you hear of souls being anxious about their eternal welfare, go and tell the Lord about it. Go and pray about it. Lord, save that soul. They're anxious, they're concerned. Lord, save that person. Go and tell the Lord. And then the last reference to Philip is in John 14. Passage we read this morning. John 14, verses 8 and 9. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Here we see that Philip needed to be taught by the Lord. Remember, he along with the other disciples, they're in the school of Christ. He's a student in the school of Christ. And here we have, first of all, his request. What was the request? Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." You know, there's something here that is commendable. Philip has been in the school of Christ for 3 years now. And he's still asking questions. He's still wanting to know more about the Lord. Now, many subjects are taught in our school. And our children have many questions to ask. But in the school of Christ, there is one lesson that is taught above all others. Knowing God. That's the lesson. Look at the words. Look at verse 4. "Whether I go, ye know. And the way, ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not." See, we're talking about knowledge here. Verse 7, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." And again, verse 9, we have the word "known" again. Students are in the school of Christ. And the lesson is, you need to know God. We need to know God. Believer, you and I need to know God. Yes, we know him in salvation. But we need to move on from that. We need to build on that. We need to add to our faith. Adding to our faith will increase our knowledge of God. Strangely, I needn't say strangely enough, but this morning I was reading Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. And what was Spurgeon speaking about? What was his text for this morning? Philippians 3 verse 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He's talking about knowledge as well. And this is what he said, I'll just read a few lines. Spiritual knowledge of Christ will be a personal knowledge. I cannot know Jesus through another person's acquaintance with him. No, I must know him myself. I must know him on my own account. It will be an intelligent knowledge. I must know him not as a visionary dreams of him, but as the Word reveals him. I must know him. I must know his natures, divine and human. I must know his offices, his attributes, his works, his shame, his glory. I must meditate upon him until I comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. I will be, and it will be an affectionate knowledge of him indeed, if I know him at all, I must love him. An ounce of heart knowledge is worth a ton of head learning. An ounce of heart knowledge is worth a ton of head learning. How well do we know God? Duncan Campbell, upon his arrival in the Isle of Lewis, was asked, Mr. Campbell, are you walking with God? To which Mr. Campbell replied, well, I can say that I know God. That's enough. If we know God as Duncan Campbell knew him, we'll be doing well. It was his request, and then you have the rebuke. The Lord's gentle rebuke, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you? Philip, as we know, was one of the first disciples. The Lord's referring to that. Have I been so long time with you? Notice, he didn't say, have you been such a long time with me? No, he said, have I been so long time with you? And hast thou not known me, Philip? It's one thing to have the Lord with us. It's another thing for us to be with him. We have the Lord with us every day. But can we say we're with him every day? Can we say we're walking with him every day? Can we say we're in fellowship with him every day? Can we say we commune with him every day? And maybe that's where the fault lay. Philip knew the Lord was with him every day. But I wonder, was Philip with the Lord every day? For if you're not with the Lord every day, then we'll not have a very deep knowledge of the Lord. Have I been so long time? How long have we been with the Lord? How well do we know him? And give the Lord's reply. Had Philip not yet known about the unity of the Father with the Son? The Lord said to Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. Did he not see the works of Christ, that they were the works of God? Did he not hear the words of Christ and realize these are the words of God? He was slow to learn. He's a student in the school of Christ. He learns something, but many things he hadn't learned. This is where we say our farewell to Philip. The only other time we read of Philip is in Acts 1, verse 13. And there he's in the upper room with the other disciples in prayer. Maybe Philip, through that rebuke, learned his lesson. If I am to know God, I'll only know him in prayer. When I'm with him, I need to spend more time with him. So do we all. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most loving and gracious Father, we bless thee again for the word of the Lord that has so much to teach us. Yet, Lord, we realize, we lament the fact that we're still only scratching the surface. O Lord, thy word is a deep treasure chest of precious things. Help us, Lord, to get into the Word. And help us, Lord, to spend more time with Christ. Increase our knowledge. Deepen our knowledge, our heart knowledge of the Lord. Lord, do that work, we pray. May we not be content with what we have now as far as knowledge is concerned. But may our cry be with Paul that I might know him. Lord, answer prayer. Thank thee for being with us throughout the Sabbath day. Lord, we ask that thy hand will be upon us all as we make our way home, and those of a little further to go, keep us all safe. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.